Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here today we have Suzanne Niles and Wendy Simpson Little. Why would a normally intelligent, hungry person not eat?
Well, that is a great question, and it's one that we struggled with too when we started fasting and praying together, but we found so many accounts in Scripture, and honestly, when we started fasting and praying, it's because of a great need that had arisen, and that was my daughter had just been diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And I think sometimes we're in these moments of crisis where we cry out to the Lord and we're just looking for something extra to really empower our prayer life. And that's what motivated me at the beginning. And I contacted Suzanne and asked her if she would pray with me as well. So we started doing this one day a week, and Sydney is now 15, and she was told she would have to have 5 different surgeries. And she still to this day has never had to have one. We serve a faithful God. So why fast? Because He'll change you through it. He'll change your heart. He will give more power and passion to your prayer time because you are on your knees. You're hungry. You're going to pray. So anyway, that's why I think we should all engage in this practice.
Well, and you know, Wendy and I both love food. So it was definitely a sacrifice for us. One thing that we saw from Scripture that really just stopped us dead in our tracks was when Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And we thought, He didn't say if, He said when. And, you know, I don't want to represent that it's a command, but for us, that made the calling that we were already feeling on our hearts so much stronger, that God wanted us to make a sacrifice to put something aside that we felt we really needed and something we enjoy so that we could just focus on Him, making Him the most important thing in our day.
Many churches now, Protestant and Catholic, practice this Lent period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give up chocolate. 40 days. Is that fasting?
I think so. It's giving up something, and hopefully it's not just the giving it up, but it's what do you replace it with. Hopefully when you're wanting chocolate and you're giving that up during a season, instead you are saying, well, Lord, next time I want chocolate, I'm going to remember to pray for my friend. I'm going to remember to pray for my marriage. I'm going to pray for my child, whatever it is that's on your heart at that time. So we said, even if you don't fast from food, maybe you fast from social media. Maybe you are one that grabs your phone 20 times throughout the day to check your Facebook status. Instead of doing that for one day, turn it off. Instead, every time you were tempted to go for that, go to the Word, go to prayer instead. So we don't want to say fasting has to be from food, but we do know it's something sacrificial. It needs to be something that hurts a little bit because Jesus suffered for us, and we're trying to die to our own self, and this is a way to really practice that.
It builds your self-control. I know a time in my life when we were going through crisis, and my escape, even though I was a believer, my escape was to turn the TV on, to watch a movie, because then I didn't have to think about that thing. And I would just do that mindlessly. How much better to turn off the TV and go to the Lord in prayer? So it really is something you can give up if you physically cannot give up food, if there's a reason that the doctor says it's not good for you, then there are other ways to do this. For us, we fast one day a week. It's Tuesdays, and we don't even live in the same state, but we call each other, or we'll email, or we'll text, we'll share our prayer requests. We've made the commitment to pray for each other's needs with the same passion that we pray for our own. And let me tell you, as a mom with kids, boy, that gave me so much peace that when I sent my kids out the door somewhere, I knew I was praying for them. I knew Wendy was praying for them. And it just gave me so much strength to know that I wasn't the only one taking their needs and their safety and their well-being before the Lord.
I had a nutritionist that I interviewed, And she's discussing the integration of the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. Your physical houses the mental houses the spiritual. So they're integrated, they're all part of one. Your spiritual should control your mental, and your mental should control your physical. So then the fasting becomes a process whereby you make the decision not to go to the comfort, whatever that is, during a time of crisis, or even not, but just as a process of discipline. You say, I'm not going to go to that which my emotions or my body craves. You know, comfort food's big deal. And shopping's big deal, too. You know, I've heard that before, too. Oh, I feel so bad. I think I'm going to go shopping. Or, oh, give me those Doritos. I feel bad. Mm-hmm. So instead of reaching for that, you reach for the Bible and a glass of water.
Yes.
That's kind of the way it worked?
Yes, and I was a huge stress eater. I'm an emotional eater. I love the thought of I'm eating my feelings, or, you know, you hear that. And if I'm happy, I wanted to eat. If I'm sad, I want to eat. I'm not one of those people that ever lost their appetite in a season of stress. I would have the, I just wanted to do exactly what you said, have comfort food. So to retrain my thinking, and you're right, our mind ends up, it should be spirit controlled, but when we catch ourselves in the flesh and have to redirect, it became something that, praise God, has become a habit now, where it starts out as a discipline, and now it's a joyful habit, I would say, and I've really learned so much by turning away from food. Or my other thing is, both of us like to get other people's opinions. I think I'm more guilty of this than Suzanne. But before I knew what I wanted to do, I had to ask 5 people. Or what should I eat for dinner at a restaurant? What should I, you know, I've been given this opportunity. What do you think about this? And it's taught me to go to the Lord first. And I can seek some affirmation from wise people and wise counsel afterwards. But instead of being driven to other things or other people, it's driven us to our knees and to the Word. And that's transformed us.
Well, it has. And, you know, it's become, even though it was hard in the beginning, it has become something that we look forward to. We've seen breakthrough on these days in our own lives. The Lord has taught us. I had one day where I was so hungry, and it was towards the end of the fast, and I thought, oh, I'm in the kitchen. The cupboard's right there. I could just grab some food, and no big deal, you know. And the Lord impressed on my heart, are you praying for the people in the world who don't have that option? And I just started to cry. I thought, oh, my gosh, it's so easy for me. I can just go get anything I want out of my cupboard. And there are children, there are people who have no food, no water. And it broke my heart. And it gave me a sensitivity that I didn't have. Had I not been fasting and felt that hunger and just wanted so bad to break it, I don't think I would have heard the Lord say that to me. And it gave me a compassion I didn't have before.
As you started into this, tell me the story of the first day that you ever fasted. Who fasted first?
Well, we did it together. We had done it before at times in our life separately, but when we decided to do it together, we prayed about a day, we prayed about what our fast would look like, and we decided on that. But, you know, for me, I'm going to confess that it was like eating up until a minute before midnight the night before, because, oh my, I'm not going to get to eat tomorrow. I've got to have reserve.
Like a little chipmunk, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, and of course, it's not that way anymore. But the first day was kind of, I think I was expecting this is some miracle prayer that, you know, we're going to get all our answers right away and everything's going to be great. And, you know, what it was God said, well, let me let you look inside a little bit first. And he started showing me things that needed to be cleaned up, that things where maybe I thought someone wronged me, where maybe I was more at fault than I thought. So I was able to confess, to have my heart made clean and pure before the Lord, so I could take those important requests. So that's pretty much where I started, was, okay, God, let's see what's in there, let's get it out, and then we can get down to business.
when you first came to this realization, was it like, okay, here we go, this is going to be 24 hours of, or did you even during the middle of your fast go, Lord, food would be good now?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you that that's the power and key of having somebody do it with you, because if it had been up to me, I probably around noon the day thought, okay, I had some great quality prayer time with you this morning, Lord. That was awesome. And I'm done. I'm going to eat now and I'll keep praying, but I'm going to go ahead and eat. But I knew Suzanne was doing it. And I thought, oh man, I have to follow this through and finish. And it was at the beginning, I would say maybe for the first couple of months, it was definitely difficult to get through that day of fasting. I have been one in the past when I attend a Presbyterian church and we do observe Lent, and I would switch what I gave up halfway through. I'm just totally telling on myself right now. I'd be like, I'm going to give up Diet Coke, and about halfway through, Lord, I'm going to switch because I need a Diet Coke and I'm going to give up chocolate now or whatever. I mean, this is terrible. I have no self-control. That's why I want to encourage people. God can develop this faith muscle in you. If you give him a little bit, he more than meets you. And having Suzanne partner with me not only gave me accountability, but all of us as Christians, moms, women today, we get tired. And there were times I didn't have the energy to pray for my request anymore. I was, heartbroken some days. I was depressed some days. And I knew that even if I was too weak or in a bad place to pray, I knew that Suzanne was praying for my kids, my needs, as if they were her very own. And that is the biggest blessing I think that I could have ever had in this relationship. And we've been able to do that for one another through seasons of struggle. We've been able to say, I'll stand in the gap for you today, and I'll pray for your needs today.
So powerful and so amazing. Honestly, I don't know what I would have done if I'm so grateful. God has given us so much more than we've ever given up.
You have published a book called Fast Friends, The Amazing Power to Friendship, Fasting, and Prayer. Now, you've alluded to the benefits that you have felt. Spiritually, you're receiving a real blessing out of this. What about, just to move back, what about physically and mentally? Are you gaining anything physically and mentally?
Yes, I'm going to just say something quickly and then Suzanne will. But I was really impressed in Hebrews where the writer says, when have you striven against sin to the point of the shedding of your blood? When have you worked so hard to die to self, in other words, that you've actually shed blood? And it was very convicting for me, like, what pain do I go through? Sacrifice do I go through? Denial of what I want to purposely draw closer to Christ. And that was super convicting for me.
Mentally, and I have to go back and bring the spiritual into this, but the closer I grew to Jesus, the more I heard his voice, and I'll just share. I've never heard an audible voice, but I hear that thought in my head. And because I'm a sheep, I know his voice, and we all have that ability. I was able to get rid of fear in my life, worry. My faith, my trust in who I know my God to be has grown so much. And I really have to credit the fasting and prayer to being the catalyst to growing that. And, you know, basically what it is that I've spent a lot more time with God than I used to, because I'm taking that one day. And, you know, like Wendy said earlier, if it was by myself, I probably would have thought, oh, I had a good prayer time, I'll quit at lunch or whatever. But even on the days when I do get hungry still and I'm tempted to do that, I know from experience that that time I may have later in the day with the Lord may be just that breakthrough I'm looking for, or that answer for that person who's asked me to pray for them. So the mental change has been huge. physically, I have read that fasting one day a week can be an anti-aging thing. So for you ladies out there, you know, that just might encourage you.
Not to mention that the food really tastes good when you get it.
Yes, it does.
That's true. That's very true.
So when you do a fast, is it a 24-hour fast, a 12-hour fast, a two-day fast, or...
Mostly for us, it has been 24 hours after dinner one night to right before dinner the next night, so that we have time with our families. But I think any period of time God puts on your heart, he's going to bless it. And you are going to develop some ability to have new levels of self-control and new levels of being empowered to pray, new ability to have discernment in His Word. It's amazing to me the things that have come from it. And I think the longest fast I've done is 3 days, and that was with juices and fluids. But I don't know about you, Suzanne.
Well, yeah, about the same for me. I mean, I know there's people out there that have done fasts that are a lot longer. But for us, because our routine is weekly and it's one day a week, you know, we've chosen, because of the leading of the Lord, to follow His leading and do the schedule that Wendy said, and to not take in anything we would have to chew. So it's strictly liquids. And there's times where God will lay it on our hearts to just be water. And there's times where He'll say, you know, I want you to go a little bit longer because there's this situation you need to pray about. So it really is listening to the Lord and following what He tells you to do as an individual. There's no absolute. You have got to seek the Lord, and He promises if you seek Him, you'll find Him. So we really encourage you to do that. And if there's anyone out there thinking, well, I don't know someone I could ask, ask the Lord. If He knows your heart is intent on getting closer to Him and doing this, He's going to bring you that person. And it couldn't be someone that you would never even have expected. But He will be faithful.
So the fasting process, it's not a, I am going to mechanically set up this system of fasting so that I can achieve these benefits. But rather, it's much more organic. It's much more about, you know, I feel compelled to do this because the Holy Spirit is talking to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do this with the leading of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. so that I can become more in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Right. But we do think there's great value in setting up like what we have one day a week. Because
yes.
that's a consistent thing where there's accountability, there's partnership, there's shared praying together and fasting together. And if you look in Scripture, one thing we do want to mention for your audience, we've written free downloadable Bible studies, accounts from Scripture of where people fasted and prayed, and it's on our website, fastfriendsbook.com. You just go to the blog and you'll get the studies, and we're adding one a week. But there's so many instances, like with Esther, she called all the Jews to pray. Jehoshaphat, he called the men, women, and children to fast and pray. It's not something new. It's something God blessed, and He put in Scripture as an example to us. So we do believe it is an ongoing thing, and I think I speak for both of us where we say we've got so much benefit from it and such a love for Jesus as our first love that we'll do this the rest of our life.
So there is and I agree, this is, having some sort of a systematic approach to it is not a bad thing, because too often our own whimsicalness will take us in different ways, where if you have gone through it once and you say, you know, there's a real benefit to it, I want to just include this. I mean, after all, we go to church once a week, two, or twice if we go to prayer meeting, or three times if we go to something, but we usually at least once a week are going to church. Well, it makes sense that if you're going to go to church once a week, why don't you engage God once a week in something like this, where everything else is off the table? It's just you
right.
and God.
That's right. And, you know, there's power in prayer, no matter, you know, if there's fasting with it or not. But we do know that there's an account in Scripture where Jesus said this type of thing only comes
yeah.
out through prayer and fasting.
Yes. So how do people use your book? How can they use your book?
Well, in the book, this has been written over a 13-year friendship and journey and partnership. So, like Suzanne mentioned, when we started out, we were both stay-at-home moms. And there are sections in there on praying for your children, praying for your marriage, using fasting as an act of worship, using fasting as intercession to break spiritual bondage. Isaiah 58 is a wonderful passage on the type of fast the Lord desires to unyoke oppression. And we pray for friends, family members, loved ones who are in a season of bondage to a sin, or it's very powerful, I think, to use as a tool that way. The other parts that are usable are just, go ahead.
Well, the 10-week book study in the back, you can actually do a Bible study on your own or with a group, and it takes you through the chapter. There's questions, there's application. So that's a good way to start, and then also to use the free downloadable Bible studies that are online along with it. We're really honest about who we are in this book. In fact, one of the editors that worked with us said, "Are you sure you want to share this? Because you can't take it back." And we thought, you know, if it's going to help someone else, then we want God to use it. So we just want you to know, we were just two average women, moms, who wanted more Jesus. And if you use the book, you read it, you identify with it, you do the book study in the back and look into Scripture, you are going to come close to Jesus in a new way, in a deeper way than you ever have before.
So people could use this not only if they were just two people who said, "Let's do this," but they could go into their church.
Absolutely.
And as a group, they could use it, pull the Bible studies down, mm-hmm. or the worksheets down, and use it as a study guide to take them through this, to develop this ministry within their church.
Yes, and I just want to make sure your listeners know that we are not super holy people. Fasting is not for the holiest among us. The fasting is for all of us to do, because we all have something that we need to lay down and sacrifice. I think that now we both are full-time and we still manage to do this, so it is possible even in the middle of a busy work day to set aside time to fast and pray.
And I want to add to, there's a lot of scripture in the book, but we absolutely want everyone to become a student of God's Word. That's the place to go. And if the book is helpful, that's great. But please, please seek the Lord and read His Word on this subject.
Well, thank you for being with us today. We're coming to an end here now, but it's very fascinating, the idea of fasting. And I would like to recommend that our listeners get the book, Fast Friends, The Amazing Power of Friendship and Fasting and Prayer. And they can get that where? On Amazon or?
Amazon, in Lifeway stores, BarnesandNoble.com, in Barnes & Noble stores.
And then if they go to your website, they can download study guides?
And yes. Also available on our Facebook page as well. They can download the Bible studies.
Yes, there's a link on our Facebook page, Fast Friends Book. And if they follow those links we post every time we put a new Bible study up, it will take them directly to the page.
Okay, and you have a website also?
Yes, fastfriendsbook.com.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
I have one thing left to say. That is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.